Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. I'm seer evangelist Linda Kasris, and I'm excited tonight about hearing part two of We Were Made to Win. That's talking about me, and it's talking about you. Hallelujah. I welcome my daughter, Minister Shawnee Janine Kasris Banks, and she was supposed to be on part one and couldn't make that, so I've given her some space this evening to minister to you about We Were Made to Win. I thank you, but I don't know about you, but I like winning. And I even believe most of all that even though Jesus carried that cross and was beat up and spat on and whipped half to death, that he won. He won from the time he was born of a virgin. He won from the time he started out in ministry. He won from the time he ministered the first miracle, changing water into wine at the wedding feast. He won. He won in every challenge. He won before Pilate. He won before his betrayers. He won before those that sang Hosanna in the highest or shouted it, and the next week crucify him. He won. He won when he went into hell and took the keys of death, hell, and a grave from Satan. He won. Had Satan known that he was the Lord of glory, he wouldn't have messed with him. Hallelujah. That's why it's important to have discernment. If you have discernment, you'll win with God. That's the greatest gift that the church needs today that it's lacking most. Hallelujah. The devil and all his people on earth had no discernment. They didn't know the Son of God, the hope of glory, when they were looking right at him. Nailed to the cross, they didn't know him. Hallelujah. It was the thief on one side that looked at him, and by revelation from Adonai himself, he came to know that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God. Hallelujah. And God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had time in all his agony and pain to bring another soul into the kingdom of God, hanging up on the cross. Hallelujah. So I bless God tonight. I love this topic. We were made to win. I tell myself that every day, that I win, because I'm on the Lord's side and he's on my side. Hallelujah. When you walk with God and you fear his name and you walk in the reverence and the fear of God, there's just some things that you're not going to do. So I give God all the praise, honor, and all the glory tonight. Hallelujah. I want to give a shout out to all the listeners from around the world. Hallelujah. I'm not going to name them tonight, but I praise God for you. I remember when God gave me this, I don't want to say topic, this name for ministry, Gatekeepers Ministry International, because the podcast is under that ministry, which is the main name. He told me to reach out to some people on social media, and he would reveal to me who they are and ask them this question: what is the definition of a gatekeeper? I got more than 500 responses. You know, there's some people with big names and titles that they don't respond to you, but these people had no clue who I am. And they responded to me, and they gave me clear, thorough definitions of what a gatekeeper is. And a lot of them were bishops and apostles, and I was so honored. God let me know that I would get a response. And that created this ministry. And some of them said to me that a gatekeeper is an assignment from God. What an honor. Hallelujah. It's not included in the fivefold ministry, but it is an assignment from God. And if you have a household and you have children, then you've lived the life of a gatekeeper of some sort. But Nehemiah was a great gatekeeper. Read his story. He was a praying man. A gatekeeper has to be a praying woman or a praying man. So I bless God tonight. I just thank God that there's no distance in prayer, that we can reach out in prayer and cross oceans and seas and clouds and heavens. Hallelujah, with our prayer. Hallelujah. And nobody has to pay you. Nobody has to pay me for praying. Because I belong in this scripture, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, hallelujah, availeth much. Glory to God. They said Philadelphia, Pennsylvania was going to be a hot spot for the COVID-19. I said, the devil is a liar. I got too much family up in there. I took authority over that thing and been praying for it every day, and God has brought to pass, and even the governor has said, or the mayor, that Philadelphia was spoken to be a hot spot for COVID-19. Hallelujah. But somebody's been praying, coming in agreement, lifting up the name of Jesus over that city. And somebody declared recently, within the last week or two, that it never became a hot spot. And the virus has gone down. So we're praying it down to nothing. The governor said he wants to see less than 50 cases, positive cases, in the state of Pennsylvania. So we're praying, we're decreeing and declaring every day that His request would be answered in the throne room of God, and not only under 50 cases, but under 30. So we bless God tonight. Hallelujah. God clearly answers prayer. Hallelujah. And nobody had to pray. Nobody had to pay you for that prayer, Candace. Nobody had to pay me for that prayer. I got too much family, too many friends, too many enemies in Philadelphia. Yeah, I've been praying for them too, that God save them and protect them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the only one that can do it and get all the glory, because I'm careful to give him all the glory. So I bless God tonight. I'm excited. My daughter ministers under the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And we missed her the other week on part one, but now tonight she's got an open door to minister on this topic, We Were Made to Win, part two. And who better but Ty Tribbett to sing that song? Every situation I face, I win. Hallelujah. There's been some tight situations. But I said that, the words to that song, and guess what? God brought me to the winning streak. Hallelujah. You know, you can have a winning streak. Hallelujah. And I don't want no losing streak. No. That's not happening. People rather see you lose than win. But I'm going to be on the winning streak, and have been through crisis, trials, tribulations. Oh, God, yes. But, Lord, hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty has his hand on us, and he's bringing us through all of this stuff going on in the earth, my God. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you. We just lift you up and honor you and magnify your holy name. We thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood shed on Calvary. It all made it up to the mercy seat. Lord, we ask that you would bestow your grace upon us, our family members that aren't saved, that they will be saved, our friends that aren't saved, that they will be saved, in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from evil. Hallelujah. A lot of evil surrounds your people. A lot of deception surrounds your people. But God, you said no weapon formed against us will prosper. And any tongue that rises up against us in judgment is already condemned. You condemn it. So, Father, we thank you. We plead the blood of Jesus upon Shawnee tonight, her sons, her husband, her household. And, Lord, we ask God for a total deliverance, that everyone in that house that's connected to her will come unto the unity and the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for sparing us of this virus. We give you praise. We bless you, holy name. Blessed are you, our God, who is King of the universe, and who has kept us alive and preserved us and enabled us to see another day, to see another broadcast, to hear another word from you. Lord, we thank you, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. We thank you for filling us. Fill Shawnee right now in the name of Jesus. Fill her overflowing. I dispatch holy angels from the third room of God around her right now. I speak the shalom peace of God upon her and in that home where she is in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would work out every situation for your glory. We bind the devil on every hand and we loose the power of the Holy Spirit. We loose the fruit of the Spirit and the joy of the Lord, which gives her strength. So, Father, I thank you for making ways out of no way for her and use her tonight for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God, praise God. I remember when I gave my life to Christ almost 40 years ago. Shawnee was 9 years old and she gave her life to Christ. I got filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and I laid hands on her, and she got filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. We were baptized in the Bass River by Dr. Alberta Johnson, and I was baptized, and she was baptized. So God raised us up together. Hallelujah. He has his hand on her life. He'll never take it off. Hallelujah. And we thank you for a greater commitment, a greater level, a closer walk with God. Upon Shawnee's life, her son's life, and her husband's life, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Shawnee, your mic is open. You're an anointed vessel of God. Minister to us tonight on We Were Made to Win. God bless you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I just want to ask God right now to humble me in his presence. As I submit to his spirit, Lord God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit perfect the foundation and the basis of this sermon that I have to speak to your people tonight. I just ask you, Lord God, that you be present right here and in every home of every listener, Lord God. And I thank you. Forgive me for any unknown sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord Jesus. I come to you, and I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be used by you, Lord Jesus. It's not me, but you speaking tonight. So bless your people, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you. Tonight is a good night because there are winners out there listening, and it's because you're in the race and you're running the race. I was intrigued by the word meant in the topic, we were meant to win, because meant, when I looked it up in the dictionary, it's past tense and a past participle of mean, which kind of, it has an undertone of everybody's not going to win, because we were meant win, but everybody's not going to win. And I want to differentiate the different things we need to win, the different areas we can win in, and not only the race that is set before us in our Christian walk and this life, but winning souls, because we were also meant to win souls. That is the purpose of the Christian. It's to win souls and to build a kingdom. We're kingdom builders. And that's what the Bible says. And I just want to start with a scripture that comes from Corinthians, I believe. And it says, "Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize." I'm going to talk about what the prize is tonight. "So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. No, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." So I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. And I thank God for that scripture. That's 1 Corinthians 9:24. We are running a race, and the race is not given to the swift. So what is the race? The race we run is with perseverance. It's of perseverance. In the New Testament often describes the Christian life as a marathon, a race set before us. But what exactly is the prize? Don't you know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? So you have to run the race in such a way as to get the prize. Just as an athlete trains to run a race or win a game, they train in the same way, hard enough to win, even though there is one winner. But in Christ, there are many winners, and you were meant to win. I just want you to say to yourself right now and in your spirit, or speak it out loud, I'm a winner. I'm going to win, because we were meant to win. We all were meant to win. A spiritual race is a life that of faith and obedience. And with that pursuit of personal holiness to which the Christian is called by God, God calls us into this race. And there's a training, and through the word you learn the things you do to train for it, to equip yourself to persevere. Because we were meant to win, remember? Meant. I thank God that along the way, when we're running this race, he's with us. Because yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, because thou art with me. God is good. And my favorite Apostle Paul, was fond of using a race as a metaphor for living the Christian life. And he wrote the passage that I just read, urging Christians both then and now, to run the race in such a way as to win the prize. But even this race, think of this race as when, like those walks that you sign up to do for charities, and there's not a winner, but you accomplish the goal of raising that funding for whatever that charity is, or whatever reason, you know, you're walking that marathon for that specific, but you're all winners when you cross the finish line, because you achieved the goal that you set before you, because you were meant to win. You will win. Speak it over yourself every day and claim it. Speak it into existence when you're not feeling like a winner, because every day we don't feel like winners. Sometimes you want to give up and just throw in the towel. But that's why there's practice put into running a race. You have to have, what does it mean to run your race and running your own race? Each race in every individual's Christian life, you have your own purpose and vision for winning. And you look towards your goal while being aware of what's around you in your atmosphere and what's coming against you when you're running this race. Running your own race means not to focus too much on what's around you or who's next to you or behind you. Why? Because you're different. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's winning. That's winning. And before that moment comes where you receive your crown, You have to know that you are a chosen generation. That's incentive to train and work hard to run this race. And you need these things to equip yourself during the race. You need fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All those things play a part in the longevity in your race, like in the perseverance, in your strength and endurance. Having those things help you along the way. So what does it take to win the race? First, you got to have a goal. The prize which you are contending for, in the case of runners in a race, it is a crown or a gold medal, a ribbon. All of these things are corruptible. Let's understand that. They are temporal and will not last. In a Christian's race, however, the prize is the crown of life, the eternal life, incorruptible and eternal. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that incentive to train hard and move fast but with endurance? I thank you, Jesus. So this is good. The Holy Spirit is encouraging every listener to stay in the race. Don't give up. There will be times that your limbs, your body, your mind get sore. But let the word of God be a salve to those things that are coming against you in your race. God is good, and he's made the provision for us to win. And isn't that a good thing? Because he already gave us everything to win because we were meant to win. You use the word meant, let's go back to that, to say that something or someone was intended to be or do a particular thing, especially when they have failed to be or to do it. Meant. The thing about meant that implies to gain success in a competition, that's what it means, or a contest, to win a prize in a game or a battle. And usually it's won by a superior skill or strength. Or it's to gain solicitation or courtship, to obtain or to allure to kindness and compliance. Meant to win your enemy by kindness, to gain persuasion or influence, or an orator where an orator wins his audience by an argument, the advocate has won by a jury. Things that meant is used for what meant means. Meant to win, like to gain victory, to gain ground, to win or to be a conqueror. Winning is gaining success in a competition, attracting, adapted, or gain favor, charming as winning in your personality, winning, because you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You're called by God. You're saved by his grace. You're covered in his blood. You're renewed in your mind by his word. You are winning. You dress yourself, clothe yourself in that mindset every morning, and you will be a winner. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. You're such a good God. I thank you for using me right now. Glory to God. I just thank you. Do you not know that those who run in a race, that only one receives the prize? Again, I want to, those you're running a race that, like, there's only one. But there are many winners in such a way that you yourself win alone. Daniel 12:3 says, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That's winning souls. You were meant to win souls in this race, in this walking Christian life along the way as you run for the prize. you're going to win souls to get in the race and run for the prize too. Luke 21:19 says, by your endurance, you gain your lives. So you've got to endure throughout this race. That's an endurance scripture. Those who persevere and endure are going to be winners in the race. God is good, and he has set before us, each of us who have a relationship, who commune with him, who walk with him, who hear his voice, giving you a vision and a purpose for your life, and in order, so you're not going to accomplish that in a day. It's a period. It's a process that you go through to get to accomplish your goal and win a prize. Do you not know that the race, all the runners in it, train individually? We train ourselves through the word. We do exercises, like sets of exercises throughout the day, as a Christian would also do in your day to be strong to get through this race. God says in Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. You know, God has got to teach me to wait on him. Teach me, Lord, to wait on God. It's something about God can move in your life and overpower things as you stand still. Because that's what kind of God he is. Sometimes in our race, he just wants us to be still and know that he is God. Because sometimes in this thing, we think we are in control, and that's what will exhaust a Christian. Trying to reach your goal within your own strength and your own mental capacity, and you just can't do it. I know I can't. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. See, faith without works is dead, and working it is getting in this race and fighting the good fight. It doesn't say winning the fight. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. It didn't say I've won the race. We were meant to win. And just that scripture is what I'm saying. I have finished. The finish is the important. Philippians 3:13-14 says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal with the pride of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal for the prize. What is the prize that lies ahead? There's a crown of righteousness. There is eternal life. There is a breakthrough. There are chains breaking. There is bondage breaking. There are spirits coming into subjection. There is renewing there. These are things that we obtain winning in our spiritual walk with Christ in the spiritual race. Your people are being set free. People are being delivered. People are walking in their anointing. And right now within this earth, there is a great move of God, and it's going on now. And you can't stop it, because God has imposed himself. He has moved in and said, so what? You can't do nothing. I'm having my way. Think now that he is not in control, that this is some setup by the government or by man. And it's a trick, I'm going to tell you. This is a good time to submit to the Lord and listen to the voice and get in where you fit in as far as this pandemic is concerned, because God has brought us right back to the original ministry. Social distancing is get with your family and get your house right. Let's get closer as a family, because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But it's because of maybe the one who serves God in praise that the family is going to get saved too. Ministry at home is the prerequisite for ministry in the pulpit. I mean, if you can't get your house right, get your house right. That's how I can trust you with my house. God is good. I thank you for this. You're speaking right now, and I thank you, Lord God. I humble myself before you, Lord Jesus, and I just ask for your strength to make it through this time, Lord God. I thank you. Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. Convince yourself. You can do it. Convince yourself to the word. You don't even have to convince yourself. God here says that should be. He's convincing me. That is the convincing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's set before you the goal, the race. There's the prize. You got to get to it. He's going to supply you with the strength. We were made in his image. We were made in his image. We were made in his image. Think not you cannot win. Think you cannot win. You think he did not create us with everything in us, every power in us to get through the Christian walk and be a winner, to get to the prize, which you press for. And it says you got to press. Press is an action. It takes force. It takes some energy, some exertion. You've got to press toward, that means forward, toward the goal for the prize of the upward, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the high one. We're coming up. We're coming up. We're moving up. Up, up, up. That's the goal. Up, up, up. Higher levels, higher levels. To come out of the situations that you are in that you think are holding you down. Well, maybe they're not. They're pushing you forward so that you look forward, but not back at it, but away from it, that you take the endurance and the strength that God provides through his spirit and his word to persevere throughout the race. First Corinthians 9:26 says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. It's not aimlessly that we run. That's why you have a vision. God gives us a vision. Without a vision, my people perish. And I mean, to say what it is, like without something to do, like without a goal, like without a reason. And Jesus is the reason. Eternal life is the reason. The blessing is not here. It's not here. Oh, it's good. Oh, it's good to live comfortably. And I would say abundantly, yes, because as the Christian, we are supposed to gain abundance and live an abundant life. But you do when you have everything that you need, maybe not everything that you want. I want to drive. I want a Porsche. But I drive a BMW, and it's just. But thank God, like praise God, if it was a Volkswagen, I got what I need. Isn't that abundantly like? Isn't that great? Abundantly great. That you got what you need. He supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory. Along the race, run it. Head up and do those exercises along those ways. Strengthen those calf muscles. Do them push-ups. That's part of your, those exercises. You can find them, or whatever those push-ups are to you, do them. As far as God's word is concerned, and whatever you do in your everyday life to strengthen you to persevere is what you need to do. The word is exercise. And I'm preaching to myself. And I just ask my spirit right now to take heed to this word that is being spoken right now. Because I don't speak to you right now as a perfect person. I am not perfect. I speak to you the word of God and what he has to say to his people listening tonight. It is not me, but how can I speak and speak on my own when I am not perfect? I am not the great I am. I am just his messenger, his willing vessel, vulnerable to his voice and his spirit. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated right now at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a winner. We got a winner. He endured the cross. He didn't ask us to go to Calvary. He already did that. He doesn't ask us to have a nail in the right and the left hand and through both of our feet. He doesn't ask us to carry a cross from one distance to another while being mocked, spat on, and scorned. He didn't ask us to shed our blood and wear a crown of thorns. He already did that. He didn't ask us to be pierced in the side or dehydrated as the sun beat upon him in front of thousands of people whose eyes were opened and thought that they were making the right decision. But at that point when the earthquake, I think they knew that they made a mistake. Wow, this was God. Look what I have done. That's what Jesus endured. And right now, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We will all behold this one day, because that is winning. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we're all not there. Every knee shall bow. I mean, the unsaved, the saved, the devil. Everybody's going to get the opportunity to get the good news of the gospel and the plan for salvation. Everybody is not going to get it. Take it, receive it. Because we were meant to win. Meaning there's opportunity there. But everyone is not going to take the opportunity. It's important that you understand how crucial it is to submit to God first in order to resist the devil, and then he flee. There has to be some submission there in order for you that, you know, trumps, excuse me, when the devil comes in to tempt you. So when you resist him, there's a strong resist there. Resist it. Waterproof, like that's material comes waterproof. So there's a resistant or something that material is made to resist that water going through and getting you wet. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So that in the day of Christ, and what day is that? That is when he returns, and on that day, we receive our new robes, we're transformed. That's when holding fast to the word of life. So we can be proud that I did not run in vain. You're running. That I did not run or labor in vain. That's why you're running, so that in the day of Christ you can be proud. And God is proud of you for enduring, forget what lies behind, straining forward, like straining forward. If things you go through, there are mountains you climb, but you don't look back down them to keep going up. like we're in the valley, remember the podcast, Though I Walk Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death. We're in the valley, and the valley is not the flattest surface. And it's got all kinds of streams and rocks and different experiences there, highs and lows. So you have to forget those things, those lows, and press, strain forward. You got to strain it. You strain your body hard as an athlete to produce. When you get on that field, that track, whatever it is, you have to be prepared. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. That's James 1:12. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. You know that God, when God makes a promise, God is not a man. He's not a man that he should lie. So when he makes a promise, it's a promise. Which God has promised to those who love him. All you got to do is love him. Answer that question yourself. That's a whole other sermon. Let's move on. Blessed is the man who runs steadfast under trial. So there's trial. There's pressures. There's things coming at you. That come against you, that push, that press, that you have to be strained forward. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. That's the prize. Press towards the prize and receive the crown of life. How about that? Jeremiah 12:5, if you have raised men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of Jordan? If you run the race on foot with men and they have wearied you, how will you use this for people to build yourself up, to give you strength when things come against you, because there's more to come. This ain't it. Put your seatbelt on and hang in there for the ride. There will be much turbulence. So those breathing things are going to drop out the ceiling if they're that's how you have to look at life. There's things going on, but God has equipped you, there's equipment there to save your life, to give you the strength to make it through the race that is set before you. And there's different things that uniquely to each individual for you to do, for you, for that place you want to be in ministry, that thing you want to accomplish in your Christian life. I'm not talking about a job or something like that. How you build the kingdom of God. And we're not going to show
that. Let me ask you a question. Are you moving around papers? Because I can hear, like, papers moving around. Or something that's around, I could hear it in your mic.
Okay. I had the earphones on with my earrings, so I just took them off.
Okay, good. All right, sorry.
Okay. Give me 2 seconds. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do not receive a perishable wreath, but they do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we, an imperishable. And every athlete exercises self-control in all things. It's exercising self-control in all things. Because when you're in training to box, for a title, for a belt. When you're in training for a big game, you have to have self-control. There are things you cannot eat. There are certain types of a regimen, a structure, a lifestyle that you have to maintain, things that you're not going to do and that you're going to do more as exercise. And it takes self-control to sustain you, to keep you in that regimen. And it's because in our life, our Christian life, it's because we run this race to obtain a prize which is imperishable. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you, Proverbs 4:25. Looking forward, keeping your eyes forward, focusing upon the prize. Let your gaze be straight before you. Turning to the side and looking back, you turn to the side and get you distracted. Looking back can bring you down and make you feel unworthy. Oh, how unworthy sometimes. All the time I feel when I rise up to this challenge and I say, thank you, Jesus. You, Lord, still got my back. You, Lord God, are still thinking about me and who I want to be and love on me, God. Show me, do something for me to let me know you're ever present. Come on, we got to pray like that and get selfish with this thing like that for me, for me, for me. You got to get selfish with the word of God and get alone with God and want him all to yourself and in a way that, oh, nobody else. No, nobody else ain't got God like I got him. But it is a we thing, people. But it's a you thing when it comes to exercise and endurance for this person and persevering in this thing. Because you got to know that you know that God has your back, that your daddy, your father is there. You got to get selfish with it. And it's real selfish, like the exercise and the structure of an athlete. He has to think about himself. His body, his muscles, his intake, his proteins, his blood pressure, all that is the focus of winning whatever the prize is, whatever the game is, whatever the title is. Are you at the place that you want to be in God? Have you achieved the level that God is calling you to achieve? Do you know what it is God is calling you to do? Do you? Like, ask yourself. Because if you don't know, what are you training for? And I'm not saying it in an ignorant sense, or like you may not have found yourself, like a kid goes off to college and really doesn't know what he's going to major in. Find yourself. It helps you run the race with perseverance, because that is who God sees you as, who you are in him, and experiencing winning and getting to that level, that prize, and obtaining eternal life and living the abundant life. In Jesus, abundant life knows that even though I'm tired, I have joy. Even though I'm sick, I'm still running for my life. Because the devil can't come in and can't get in the way and can't distract me, I'm going to keep on running. The finish line may look afar off, but you can't see the finish line. No man knows the day nor the hour which the Son of God is going to return. See, you don't know that. That's the finish line right there. So you don't know. So you better run this thing and be ready, running right now. Because you don't know where the finish line is. You can't see it. God gives us many examples of what is to come. Gives us many things to look forward to. But you don't know when the race is up, when time's up. And how you going to win if you ain't right within? That's Lauryn Hill. God is so strong that along the way in your race that he will pick you up during your run and carry you through it at times. But you got to be right inside. You got to get your mind right. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's how you get through the mental storm. Because looking at what lies ahead, man, who please? I don't want it. I'm exhausted just thinking about it. That's how our flesh gets. That's why we got to look directly forward and gaze straight at what is straight before us. Don't get comfortable where you're at in the Lord and settle, because that's not where you might be meant to be. So God's not going to get full use out of you if you get comfortable where you're at, or comfortable in a complacent, like in a space where you don't have to run. You can just sit still and just be regular. But God has called you to win souls and win souls every day that, with every breath that you can, when the opportunity arises to build the kingdom of Christ. Because winning souls is what you were meant to do. We were meant to win souls. And you will. If you know this word and you know the plan of salvation and he's done it for you, so you can speak as a witness. God saved me, and his grace and his mercy is sufficient to save you too. Want me to tell you how? Because look at my situation. It is not pretty, but I got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Because one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross. And Shambach, that was my favorite Shambach song. And he would get that tambourine out. And, yo, it came real. And you believe it. Like, when you're singing that song, you're believing it. Like, man, that joy gets in your heart. Tell me gospel music doesn't move you to a place of worship and put you high in a high on the spirit. Because I know it was the blood. And the tambourine trumps it up even more. And you're dancing and you're marching in place now. And you're believing it. Music is something, I'm going to tell you. Music is something. And it can be gospel music and with an undertone that is set there and a meaning and a motive to lead you to the Lord and into the spirit realm and praise and worship. And then there's secular music that would be one astray. If you listen to it in a daily thing, it gets into your subconscious and it begins to taint your mind. If you're filling up on those things of the world, it comes against those things that are holy. I'm preaching to myself. I got to get self right. I got to get self right. But the word is true that comes out of my mouth. I am not perfect. These things that we do that are holy, these practices that we use, these exercises, helps us run the race. Don't sign up for the race. We don't put the horse in the gate that is going to stay in the gate when the bell goes off. When the bell goes off, those horses come out running. And if only one, because only one is going to win. First, second, third. But they're running fast, and those jockeys are coming down on them so that they cross the finish line first. That's what this race is. If you're in the gate when the bell goes off, charge. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, again, I saw under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. nor favor to those with knowledge. You know, I used to fall under there. Look, sometimes you know it all. You know too much for your own good. But knowing is only half. But time and chance happen to them all. I'm going to read that again. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. It's like, oh, yeah, you got this, you can get that. But time and chance happen to us all. Circumstance happens. Stuff happens, right? Takes place. It's going to keep on ticking and moving along with or without your progression. It's not how fast you try to run that's going to keep you from happenstance. And as you run, let me tell you, Matthew 10:22 says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end, are you thinking, like, what? The one who endures to the end will be saved. That's the winner. That's the winner. But along the way, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And probably, like, when you're running, when you're at a race, when you're a Christian, when your mind is focused, you don't even speak to the devil. Right? Say, hi, come in the way, and get distract you, and you keep it moving. You don't even look. You just wave, hey, and keep on going. There's temptations along the way. There's stuff, tools, things set up. Devil's got a job, too. To get in your way, to be the obstacle, to slow you down, to sit you down, to make you do some things in your flesh that ain't part of the regimen or the exercise, that goes against the self-control and the obedience to the Lord. To get you to your goal. See, and the plan is the exercise. The goal is the winning the race. Being saved, salvation. The plan is the exercise to get you there. It's the training. And in training, there's a plan for your flesh and for your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, like it's within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. I'm just going to let that simmer for me to receive that. I receive that. I receive that scripture right there, right here, Lord God. We need the self-control to glorify God in our body. We need to submit to God to resist the devil that would help us into sin that does not glorify God in our body. We use our body and our flesh on the daily for self-gratification, where that does not glorify God. Our bodies were a temple of the Holy Spirit. If God is in you, why would you want to defile the temple of God, put things into it, or use it to exercise things that would offend Him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Romans 5:3 says, more than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering what? Somebody said, I heard you. Produces indoors. Thank you, Jesus. You knew that scripture, too. I heard you saying it. It's out there. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. It don't sound right, do it? Suffering produces endurance. Like, come on. Suffering produces lay down and give up, don't it? Nope, the word right here says, Romans 5, verse 3 says, suffering produces endurance. Woo-wee. So if you think that you ain't going to suffer, that you're not supposed to, it's that thing that you're suffering through pushing you up to endure. God is good. Isaiah 40, 28-31 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding of us is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. I'm not making this up. That's Isaiah 40, 20-31. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. So, won't he do it? It just says he will. If you think he's not, call on him. He will strengthen you. Maybe you're doubting. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can doubt yourself, but don't you doubt God or his presence or his power or his omniscience. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah. He is all these Jehovahs because he is. He is. He is. He is. Just accept it. Once you get it, that's it right there. You got to get that. You got to believe it. Hebrews 12:3 says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now, faith is the substance, it's the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, because you can't see that finish line again, people. You can't see it. You don't know. A runner runs, a race runs, you're going to run 1,000 kilometers, 5,500 feet, you're going to do this. That, they know the finish line. You don't. So this training is like a little bit harder. It's hard. Run towards and run, and you can't see the finish. When is this over, Dad? Like, when is it? Lord Jesus, just take me now. Take me now, Todd. How long are you going to run? Suppose somebody says sign up for a race. You're going to race. Well, how many millimeters, how many kilometers am I going to run? I don't know. I'll just keep running. That's what it is. Just call it what it is. Because you don't know. But you were meant to win. Win souls in your daily walk, people. It makes you feel good. It does. When you tell somebody about Jesus and the saving grace of what's going on in your life, you're winning. You're overcoming. Say every time you give your testimony of what God has done for you in this race and how you have overcome this and that, you're overcoming again and you're winning. Somebody needs to know. Secrets aren't sold. You can't sell a secret if you don't tell nobody about it. whenever Christ did a miracle that I can remember, when he was delivering people and setting people free and opening the eyes of the blind and helping the blessing the lame to walk, he told them, go and show yourself. That's how he gets glory. That's how God shows off. Look, he can walk, huh? Look, look, he's walking. And you think you're not supposed to walk around and be like, look what God has done for me. Look what God has done for me. He has made me strong. He has set me free. He has come all up in here and rearranged things and gave me a new look and a new, renewed my spirit so that I can keep on running. Now, how long I got to run? Now, you might don't want to say that, like, really, how long I'm going to run out. But you don't know. You have to run it to win, as if you're the only one that's going to receive a prize. But you don't know. So the exercise, that training is way, it's imperative that you keep exercising to keep on running. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, for you to win. You were meant to win. Revelation 3:11 says, I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one sees your crown. No one takes it. Keep pressing, looking forward. Let your gaze be straight. God's coming soon. He's here. He's showing you that now is the time. He is coming. That's the finish line. You don't know. You don't know. Matthew 7:13-14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide. The way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it, those who enter by it are many. That's meant right there. Meant. They were meant to win. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. They were meant to win, though. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Chew on that. Let's take a moment of silence. So you can understand that those who find it are few. The word is raw. It's literal. That's what it is. You don't need no revelation to understand. Few. A couple is two, few is one, two, three. Right? So think of it like that. Now that's some terror to put some pep in your step in this race. That ain't nothing good, like that's suffering that's gonna create endurance right there. Cause that's not a cheer up scripture right there that makes you happy, that tickles your fancy, that ooh wee, goes so funny, yeah, a few. No, it's not. It that's sad. That's suffering. Because the way is hard. We were meant to win. Meant. Past tense. You didn't take the opportunity. You were meant to, but you didn't. Let's just call that, this topic, what you were meant to win. Get this. You will win. Get this word. You will win. It will accommodate you. There will be suffering. because knowing that gate is narrow and the way is hard. And those who find it will be few. Enter by the narrow gate. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. That's a good scripture coming after that last one. All things are possible for one who believes. You're going to win. All right, let's put, we're going to win and enter by that narrow gate. But you won. But you're going to win. Because all things are possible because you believe it. You believe. You believe. You have faith. You know. You got to run like you know that you know that you know you're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win. You're a winner. Not that you might. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. That's 2 Timothy 2:4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. God put you in this race. He called you. That's why you're in it. He drew you in, and that's what his spirit will do and is doing in the earth right now. God is calling people to him. He's going to about this earth. There is something going on. There's a great awakening. Like, if you can feel his presence, it is meant for you. Like, grasp it and ride the wave. First Timothy 4:8, for while the body is training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. God is preparing you for the life to come to receive that. That's the easy breezy. That's the big house right there. That's the big blessing. That's the wealth of persevering through this race. Don't get caught up in trying to get it and live comfortable down here, because down here ain't nothing like up there. Down here, especially right now, I want to be down here. I'm ready to go. I'm done. Like, really, stick a fork in me. I'm ready to go. And end it right now. I am not afraid to die. And go be with Jesus. Like, who wouldn't? What's going on right here? Like, I don't care what kind of big, comfortable house you live in. There's something going on in this earth. And it's the wrath of God, too. His punishment for the sins of man. And that's suffering for the Christian, because we're right in the midst of it, and it's creating endurance. Because we're meant to win. And if you believe it, you're going to win. I'm not sure how much time I have, Mom, but I am going to shortly bring it to a close as the Lord leads me. All right.
I still hear a little crackle. I don't know whether it's your earplugs or what it is.
Okay. I'm going to try to be still because I'm kind of moving as I talk.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 17:20 says, he said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say unto you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. All these uplifting, faith-filled scriptures are what you use out of your mouth as you're running the race. You have to speak these things to existence. There's power in the tongue of life and death. And you can either be a death, killing people, or you can speak life over. You can either kill yourself or kill people or speak life over him. And I'm being very literal. You can either kill yourself and kill people with your tongue or speak life over them and yourself and your situation. Because everything ain't the way it looks. Seriousness, what comes out of your mouth is serious, especially pertaining to other people's lives. Don't even say my name, okay? All right, thank you. If it ain't in the right motivation and under the right spirit concerning my life, we have to have pause with this fallacy right here. The mouth, the tongue, that's serious. Second Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. This is what he's doing. He's in the midst of. He's in control of. He's guarding you throughout the race. He's got your strength. He's giving you a dose of faith as small as a mustard seed. I mean, he's giving you things along the way so that you have joy and peace and even in suffering so that you can endure. These things create endurance. I wouldn't say it if it were not written. And if it's written, it is true. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 138, verse 8 says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Hebrews 12:4 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That means Christ shed his blood. He did not ask us to. So your struggle, our struggle is we're not going to be crucified. That's already been done. But woe is you in your situation. It's not a crucifixion. Like, it's not a crucifixion. I get in my bag sometimes and I think, oh, woe is me. There can't be anyone in this earth in pain like me. Suffering, mentally feeling perplexed, can't move and boxed in by the Lord. It's not a crucifixion, Shauna. He did that. He, every time I think about the nails in his hands and through his feet and the thorns pressed to his head, it's like, I ain't seen now. I'm good. Just like they say there are children starving in Ethiopia. You got a good look. Jesus went to the cross, baby, baby. You are good. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So forget you thinking your boss got a problem with you. In prayer, put that thing and ask God's power to go into your office and his peace. He will bring peace to every situation. It is not that being. It is not that sister. It is not your deacon. It is you having to fight the good fight, the good spiritual battle over principalities and powers and rulers of spiritual wickedness in high places. Forget the flesh that you're looking in the face of and want to get in your feelings about. It is not them that you're fighting against all the time. Revelation 2:10 says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation, but be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Let's read that one more time. That don't sound like fun. There is no amusement park or great adventure or bush gardens along this race. Like, we're not going to ride a Ferris wheel and get splashed in, you know, the waterlog ride. It is not a carnival. See, there's great things and great promises and good sermons. And this is one, too. But what I'm saying is that we are going to experience the Lily Valley living all the time. At every moment, we're just going to be skipping here, skipping here, that. No. Let's read that Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. What you're about to suffer. What suffering creates. Yeah, I hear you. Endurance. I told you that earlier, so you should have known. Behold, the devil is about to throw you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death. See, that be faithful unto death creates your finish line. When you dead, it's over. Or when Jesus comes. When you're dead, it's over. So if you ask God and you ever get a little, Lord God, what is this going to be for? The race ain't until you're dead. That little bit of storm that you're going through right now, you'll see an ending to that. Weeping lasts for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
James 1:3, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's winning. And you were meant to win. Be persecuted, be forsaken, be struck down, but not destroy. Okay, that's 2 Corinthians 4:9. It says, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. This is the race. Get some exercise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are in this earth having your way. You are in control. Thank you, Lord God, that even though we can't see you, we know you. We know you're there. We know you're there, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Even in the midst of the pandemic, I ain't going to die. How about that? So you thought. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your grace that is sufficient. Thank you for your angels who guard over me and encamp themselves around me. Look, he did that. He gave us a voice that commands angels. There's power in his blood when you plead it. There's power in his name when you say it. What? You can win this race if you run it like you got to. Till you die. Because God will command his angels concerning you and guard you in all his ways, in all your ways. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that and may share in his suffering and becoming like him in his death. I thank you, Lord God, that this walk isn't easy because your crucifixion wasn't. I thank you that it isn't easy because if it was, I still think that there will be few that make it through the narrow gate. I just do. If he made it easy, there will still be few. No, something is coming that is so greater that what you go through now is a testimony to why you went one. Because you endured the suffering and you persevered, whatever it is, the handicap, addiction, the blindness, whatever you're incompetent in, and you're looking for healing, the cancer, that's nothing to God. That's an experience in your race and God meant for you to win it. You're going to win if you train and you exercise and you endure. Stop looking at your situation. You can't look at your situation. You got to keep your eyes on God. Remember Peter walking on the water? Okay. Remember that. I know everybody remembers Peter trying to walk on the water and took his eyes off. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I'm listening to my preaching. I don't write anything down. This is God. I don't accept any compliment for what God is doing right now because he is speaking, and I thank you, he is speaking to me. Revelation 3:5, one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments and will never blot his name out of the book of life. That's winning. I will confess his name before my Father and before angels. I win. I won. That right there, name in the book of life. You win.
Hallelujah.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess it, get it off you, and moves things out the way. It makes room for righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. You do not run aimlessly. You do not box like you're beating the air. There is something there. There is a finish. You're going to win a prize, eternal life, a white robe, your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and an eternal, living eternally with God. A place where there is no tears, there's no more suffering there. And if I don't even know you when I get up there, I don't care. I just want to give honor to God and thank him for this divine moment. And I just ask that his blessings be upon the reading of his word and that it did some damage to the devil's plan over my life. It has set up to not have me here with you and speaking to you tonight. I just stepped all on his head and I just got some victory. But God is speaking to you and saying, run this race hard. And run it like you got to get through the narrow gate. You got to go through the narrow gate. And that only few are going to make it. I didn't say a lot. Many are going to go to hell. Many. But you're going to win because you were meant to win.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Mom, that's it. I'm done.
Well, I hope the next time you use, I guess it was every time you moved, it was a little crackle. But praise God. Hallelujah. I bless God for the word, for the message, for the messenger. And I thank God. I didn't know that you were going to speak this long. But praise God. I mean, usually when I have four or five people, we go till 9 o'clock or 10. But to God be the glory. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. For it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. We were meant to win. Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that you can't win without Christ. So we thank God for the word tonight. We give him all the glory, honor, and the praise. Thanks, Minister Shawnee, for the word. And those of you that are streaming in and that have called in, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And within the next few minutes, less than a half an hour, the broadcast will be recorded on the website. So I thank all of you that have streamed in, called in, and I bless God. Thank you, Shawnee. God bless you.
God bless you,
listen
too.
Listen to the broadcast tonight while you're laying in your bed so you could be more refreshed. Hallelujah. I'm going to listen to it probably tomorrow. I love you, too. Have a blessed night. To all the listeners that are listening right now, I just want to say, as I close the broadcast, only what you do for Christ will last. Think about it before you say it. Think about it before you do it, because only what you do for him will last. If you have to get an applause from people, if you have to do things to impress other people, if you have to get a paycheck to pray, it's all going to burn up in the fire. God bless you. Have God dreams. I love you. Only what you do for Christ will last. Amen.